Welcome to It's Your Health. I am a huge fan of the NBC's hit show, The Biggest Loser. This past season had some amazing contestants. However, one young woman stood out above the rest. Her drive, heart, and strength was an inspiration to women and men everywhere. Tara Costa, a former model, started the show at 294 pounds, but quickly dropped the pounds due to hard work and dedication. She not only won 12 challenges and never fell below the yellow line, she won our hearts. On a live finale, Tara finished the season in third place, losing 155 pounds and 52.72% of her total body weight. Tara, you rock. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lisa. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm absolutely amazing. That was a very nice introduction. Thank you.
Oh, well, I'm just like starstruck right now. I just adore you. And I have a confession. I had not watched the show prior to this season. I had always been interested in it. I had always been meaning to. And then, I don't know, somehow I missed it. And I said, I am determined to watch this season. I've heard so many great things about the show. And you just made it come alive. You just have so much spirit and energy. It was just wonderful. Now, tell us about your life prior to going on The Biggest Loser. I understand that you were a plus size model.
I was indeed. I started modeling when I was 13 years old. And it was an absolutely whirlwind of an experience. When you're 13 years old and you're told that your nose is too big, you have a gap between your teeth, it kind of messes with your psychological growing up. You know, it's something that I always wanted to change something. And then, you know, I would fluctuate with my weight because I was 13. I mean, when I was in the off season of a sport, I would gain weight and then I would play the sport and weight would come off. And sure enough, I was a yo-yo. And I always remember since the age of 13 being on a diet, always on a diet. And it just, looking back now, I think, God, that was my first problem. I was 13 years old. I wasn't even enjoying my youth because I was so concerned about getting a job to be a model.
Now, did you have a lot of pressure from friends and family to lose weight and to get into modeling?
No, it was actually my dream. It was something that I wanted to do. When someone approached me at the mall and basically said, I think you should be a model. Well, they didn't only approach me, they approached a few of my other friends as well. But the second I got the idea in my head, I thought, well, maybe I can do this. And I called up the agency and sure enough went in. And then they basically said to me, we would love to have you. And it wound up being a big scam.
Oh.
And I was brokenhearted. But then, once again, I'm a dog with a bone when I want something. So took it upon myself and started calling up all the major agencies in New York City saying, hi, I'm 13 years old. Someone told me I can be a plus size model. Do you have a division? And I just astounded my mother as she couldn't believe I was actually doing this. And she realized that I was serious about it. And then she got behind me and then, voila, I started modeling with Ford.
You are gorgeous.
Thank you.
You remind me of Kate Winslet, but prettier, you know? I mean, when I first saw you on the show, I thought that. I thought, oh, she looks like Kate Winslet. And your nose and your teeth, everything is beautiful. Don't change anything.
Well, that's what I realize now. I mean, I was always trying to change something and never just accepting of me for me. And now I realize that my little quirkiness and the things that make me unique is what just makes Tara Tara.
Yeah.
And I am finally embracing it for once in my life.
No, it's true. I remember in the 80s, like all of the models had, most of them have had nose jobs and other work done, but it seems like nowadays you're seeing a little bit more quirkiness. And I like that, you know, that the women don't all look like, you know, cookie cutter versions of each other. And I think
that's not realistic. I mean, especially now, it's just, I mean, embracing your true beauty. And, you know, my true beauty is my nose and my gap and, you know, my hips that are a little bigger than normal. I mean, it is what it is, you know, and I'm finally just realizing it's no longer dieting. It's about a lifestyle and it's about a choice of living for me that I have to choose every single day to lead a healthy life. That's it.
Yeah. Now, when you had been modeling for a while and then there was a point in your life where you gained 100 pounds in 1 year. Is that correct?
Yeah, almost. It was maybe like a year and a half or so. When I graduated from New York University, I went into the job market. And when I graduated, I looked good. I felt good. I was still always a bigger girl because my natural body type is just, you know, big boned, just thicker. And sure enough, I started working full time. I was no longer walking around the city. I was starting a new job, and during your new job, do you want to impress your employers? And sure enough, that's what I was trying to do, and I threw myself into work, and I no longer allowed myself to have time for me. And that was it. The pounds started pouring on, and then, you know, as it kept on going up, I just kept on thinking, oh my God, I guess this is just my life. This is what it's supposed to be like. You graduate school, and then, okay, you go into the workforce, you make a buck, and that's it.
Now, what kind of work were you doing?
I'm in finance.
Oh, okay. Did you enjoy your work?
I love working with numbers, and I love working with people, and I like a tangible product, so that's what I did enjoy. I went from Honeywell to L'Oreal, and actually, sure enough, I like the beauty industry more, just because it's a fun, girly product. I used to be the model, and I could relate to the hair care, the makeup, and it was just more fitting for my personality. And I loved it. Absolutely love it. I do. And it's a shame, though, but I'm just the type of person where I do something and I give it everything I have. So if there's something that needs to get done, I'm going to stay late and I'm going to get it done. And it was just type of that thing where I just let myself, I had one outlet. That's basically it. And I wasn't multifaceted in that area of my life. I was just work, that's it, and I didn't have any other passions. Now, at least I've realized that I want to have passions, because I am a very extremely passionate person. Why should I spread myself only on one thing? I should just spread the joy and let everyone get a piece, you know?
Definitely. Now, okay, so you had put on the weight, you were working, you weren't making time for yourself. So let's talk about how The Biggest Loser came into play. Now, your partner on the show is Laura.
Yeah.
Did you know, now she was a former model. Now, how did you two meet, and whose idea was it to try out?
Okay, this is actually an extremely funny story. Laura is from Miami, and I'm from New York. So I would only see Laura when I went down to Miami for castings and for, you know, bookings and such. Laura actually auditioned to be on The Biggest Loser the season prior to 9.
Oh, okay.
And so did I.
Oh. Well, they really
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
we both did. But no, it was just the story, because it was families and couples.
Oh.
Okay, so what happened was I had first applied, and I posted an ad on Craigslist to find a partner, because I was supposed to do it with my brother, and then the last second he couldn't be available for the casting. And I really wanted to go. And I posted that on Craigslist, got a bunch of responses, and then the day before, I just wasn't feeling good. It was a dreary day in New York City. But one woman called me up, and she's like, let's just go. You never know. You never know. Maybe we'll just pretend we're best friends, and we'll just give it a shot. So, Lisa, I went there with this woman. I had no idea who she was, but we quickly became best friends and went into the casting, and the casting director immediately could tell straight through us. They knew that we were lying. But, you know, 15 minutes later, they called me up, and they go, Tara, we realize that she's not your best friend, but we think that you have something. Do you have anyone else that you can potentially do this with? And I said, well, I have former models. I have my brother. I have my cousin. And they kind of got stuck on the idea of the foreign models.
Yeah.
And then it was a very strange phone call when I called up Laura, and I went, so I heard you gained a lot of weight, too. You're fat now? And she's like, yeah, I actually auditioned, and I didn't have a partner, so I didn't get a call back. And then, boom, I was like, well, send me everything, and we'll do it together, Laura. Like, let's just get this. And she's like, this will be so awesome, Tara. I want this so badly. So she had that same, you know, drive as I do. And Laura is a person who, when it comes to something she wants, we are one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
We get it done. We do. So it was a perfect fit. And then, you know, I went down to Miami, we made a casting video together, and it was just like two peas in a pod. And she was a great person and a great friend, so I couldn't ask for anything better. It worked out great.
Oh, that's awesome. So you get on, and then you go to LA, right? Because it's in, okay. And they have everybody, you know, do you all meet on the bus the first time? Is that how it works? Or is it once you get to the gym? I can't remember.
Well, what happens is I went out to LA early September for the casting process. And during that time, you're sequestered. You don't get to look at anybody. There's a casting assistant to you when you, you know, go down to the gym, if you go to the pool, if you do anything. There's someone walking with you. If you see other heavy people, they kind of they shun you. They don't allow you to even cross the same path because they don't want you to have any communication before to make it as real life as possible on the TV show. So the first time we all actually meet is when we are sitting in a room and they tell us to sit in different places and they're like, listen guys, you know, we have two things going on today. You are going to go sit in this room and we're just going to try to give you a briefing. And then we'll tell you after later on today if you guys have made it or not. But either way, you'll be going to room with a lot of people and you'll be on the show or you won't.
Oh, I thought at this point you had already gotten on. You didn't even...
No, you go to L.A. without not even knowing if you're going to make it or not.
Goodness. Oh.
So it was about a 10-day period of sitting in a hotel room with Laura.
10 days?
And and the funny thing is, this is how crazy is this. 10 days, sat in a hotel room. I actually was around 300-something pounds. I lost weight sitting in the hotel room. And I was eating junk food because we could only order in. There was no kitchenette.
Oh, jeez.
So... now I'm thinking, not for nothing. If I actually weighed in at what I actually went there at 303, there's my 5 pounds I wouldn't have lost. I'm quite disappointed in that, not going to lie now. But that's okay. So, I mean, we got into this big room, and there's all these other people, and me and Laura are looking around, and we're going, could this be it? Are these the other people that we're going to be casted with? And I thought, I don't know, Laura, this to me seems like this is it. And I remember reaching over, looking at her, and I squeezed her hand, and she goes, we nodded, and we just knew. We knew. Aww. And then just tears of joy running down her face, just thinking, this is it. This is going to change my life. And it did. It did. December 23rd.
Oh, my gosh. So they call your names. Mm-hmm. I mean, do they announce, like, they don't pull people aside? Do they just kind of call and people who get in? Kind of like on that model show, you know?
No.
Like, you're in, you're not in, no.
We're sitting in a huge hotel room at the Sheraton Universal, and Allison Sweeney walks in.
Oh.
It's the first time we meet Neil DeGroot, the director, all the executive producers, and they all walk in and, like, you know... knowing then, if I walked into a thing like that again, I would know that I would be casted on a show just from knowing the industry and the business now. But then, you have no idea. You're just, because it's all a process. You have no idea what's truly going on. But looking back, yeah, there's too many cameras, too many audio people. You would just know that you're on the show. But it was genuine surprise when she came out and said, you know, and she was trying to trick us. She was trying to say, well, we all know, we appreciate you all coming down and giving us this time. And then she just did, you know, the 180 and said, well, guess what? You're all coming to the ranch. And that's it.
They always do that. You know, on American Idol, it's the same thing when they have the three separate rooms. What is that? I guess some kind of perverse joy.
I don't
know. Going out of doing that, you know?
It's the emotion. They want to share the emotion. And, I mean, no matter what, there was going to be emotion in that room. I mean, come on, look at all the people we had in there. We had, you know, myself, Laura, Joelle, Carla, Sione, Felipe, Chris. I mean, there was just a ton of emotion in that room, no matter what.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, so how quickly then did you get to leave the hotel after they said, okay, you're all on?
Basically, went back in, made sure everything was packed, and then that was it.
Oh.
We went to go get pictures for our before pictures and took off for the ranch.
Oh, my gosh. So when you first got to the ranch, you get set up, they give you rooms, the whole thing, and then you go to your first workout. Now, on the first workout... you were in there without Bob and Jillian, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And they were secretly watching you, is that what happened?
From what I understand, I actually, Lisa, have never watched an episode.
What?
Nope, I have not. I actually tried to put it on yesterday so I could start, you know, seeing myself and how I was portrayed and just kind of looking back at memories now. And my brother erased them all off the DVR. I don't even have them.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you can go to the site on NBC. I think they only have, like, the last three on there now. But, hey, you're a big part of those.
Yeah, so. I'm definitely going to take a peek. But we all pile into the gym, and they're like, okay, go ahead. You know, you're having a weigh-in. Just start working out. And we're all thinking, okay, well, where's Bob and Jillian? This has to happen sometime, rather sooner than later. And sure enough, me and Laura just start aimlessly walking around the gym, trying to pretend like we know what we're doing, but we honestly have no idea.
Well, neither did anybody else, right?
No, I don't think anybody. We're looking at all this equipment going, what is this bar? What is this bell? What is this? You know, what is this? You know, looking around. It was a lot of fun. So I remember actually that first day seeing Dane and Blaine and thinking, these guys, they look like they're going to be athletes. And you could tell. And I was like, let's keep a watchful eye on them more. And she's like, totally. So then we started, you know, jogging with them right in the beginning. And they were the first, like, people we actually became close with. Same with Mandy and Aubrey.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sure enough, Jill and Bob walk in. And I swear, I felt like I was in my TV.
I bet.
You know? It wasn't real until I saw them.
Now, had you watched the show for years and years? And were, you know, did you, like, were you at home thinking, oh, my gosh, if only I could do that, or someday I would do that? No?
No, I didn't. I wasn't that person. I started watching when the writer strike happened, actually, and it was season 5. And definitely immediately connected with the show with the last few episodes. But that's also when I was, you know, throwing myself into work. And I honestly didn't watch any TV just because I did work so much.
Oh, yeah.
So when I started watching it and I started seeing the transformations, I was like, oh, my God. And then I finally realized, wow, I'm probably big enough to do this. And that's when I finally realized, I'm like, I need help. I need help. And then, of course, I was that person who did eat Ben and Jerry's sitting down in front of the TV thinking, I could do this, I could do this. But just feeling that, that's my only opportunity. Otherwise, well, how am I supposed to do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those types of feelings of just, it's never going to be accomplished. I have so much weight to lose. How am I supposed to accomplish this? And sometimes I still feel like that. How am I going to accomplish, you know, these feats in my life? But then I realize I can't just make these amazing feats. I'm going to make smaller goals.
Exactly.
And every day I'm going to achieve one small goal.
Yeah. That is the best advice.
No, it's true. And I actually do this thing with Post-its. And, I have tons and tons of Post-its everywhere, and it says, just for today, I'm going to stay away from cereal, and I'm going to make so-and-so smile and laugh.
Oh,
or it would say, just for today, I'm going to be kind to a stranger. Or, you know, and there are things, it ranges from, you know, my eating habits to a do-good type of thing. Because what I realized before the show is I always did something for everybody else. So now, if I see my Post-it just for today, I'm going to remember to do something for me and for somebody else.
Oh, I was about to ask if you have a Post-it that says, you know, be kind to myself, you know,
yeah.
Go easy
yeah.
on myself.
Yeah, yeah. And I do it. And if you come into my house, my room, my car, everywhere there's Post-its. You know, because it's the reminder. And I'm a person who needs the constant reminder just because, you know, I still love food. But I don't want to ruin all of my hard work, you know, and I want to keep on accomplishing new things.
Yeah, well, you will. I mean, you're just so incredible. Now, when Bob and Jillian came in, what was your first impressions of them?
They looked a lot smaller.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I thought, wow, they are tiny.
I've heard she's pretty petite, but, you know, she's a little powerhouse.
Mm-hmm. She is. She's a little, go get them, you know, ice one. I remember just being in awe, looking at Bob and going, wow, he's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. What a hunk.
And looking at, he is definitely a hunk. And looking at Jillian and going, oh, there she is. That's scary. That's scary. And I knew immediately that I wanted to be with Jill. I knew that. I knew that I wanted to be with her. I don't know what it was. There was some, and I knew that she had a tough attitude. I knew that she would kick me into shape, but, you know, looking back, I mean, I've worked out with both Bob and Jillian, and I will say that Bob can sometimes be a more difficult trainer than Jillian.
Now, in what ways?
Just workout-wise. I mean, I shouldn't say that, because Jillian has really kicked my butt, too. But, I mean, sometimes they portray Bob to, you know, be the kinder, gentler one. Don't let that fool you.
Oh, really? That's what I was going to say. I thought, because I used to be a personal trainer, and I've always thought of myself more like Bob. And not very much like, go. I'm sort of like, you know what, if it hurts too much, you don't want to hurt yourself. Like, I was always kind of the cautious trainer. I ended up working with a lot of older folks, you know. And I thought, oh, yeah, I could, you know, Bob seems more, I don't want to say compassionate, but.
No, he's not more compassionate. He's just more of the silent type where he'll just come over and, you know, if you're on the treadmill, he'll just look down and he'll just bump it up like, you know, 3 notches. Whereas Jillian will then just yell across the room saying, you better be going at 12.0, you know, that's the difference, where he'll just come over, and, like, you just, you can just feel his eyes on you, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But then again, I was always just, since I wasn't on Bob's team, I always wanted to make sure I always did really good with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like impressing the new teacher or something like that. I don't know. It was a weird mind game.
Now, I have to admit that I don't remember, but did you get to choose in the beginning? I don't remember. Did they choose for you who you got to work with?
It actually went from the choice of they picked. They first, Bob and Julian both picked their first team. So, for example, Julian picked Jerry and Estelle as her first team.
Okay.
And then it went, then Jerry and Estelle picked Dane and Blaine. And then Dane and Blaine picked Laura and myself.
Oh, okay.
So it went by choosing like that.
That's right, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what happened.
Oh, okay.
But then only after the up-down challenge, that's when we got to officially pick our trainer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I mean, it seems like you and Jillian had a really good rapport.
We did.
You know,
and
when you were having struggles, it seemed like she was really, even though she could seem tough, like she was really there for you.
She is, and what I absolutely love about her is she recognizes that losing weight is not only a physical process. What I'm struggling with is, since I was on the ranch for so long, I went from being a really fat girl with a fat mentality, right, to then going on a TV show, not being in reality, and coming back and being someone who's thin and who is looked at differently. And that transition, she now, looking back, was trying to prepare me for. But you don't realize that when you're there, because you're so focused on just losing weight, staying there as long as you potentially can, and you don't realize that when you come out, you're different. You're just different.
Yeah.
And you still have the same characteristics, but people look at you differently, and it's kind of now just a whole new, I'm forming a new life. It's absolutely insane. And I love it. I love it. I mean, sometimes I'm so scared, Lisa, and I'm going to be the first to say that, you know, I think, well, what am I going to do? Is this going to be forever? And I'm going to make sure that I'm making it forever, because I'm trying to make it into the lifestyle that I need to live.
No, you'll definitely, I mean, you have such, just watching you on the show with your strength and your determination, when I say you won our hearts, you really did.
thank you.
You know, you have such an amazing personality and just such kindness and drive, like I had said. And it must be weird. It's almost like you're in this bubble and you go in one way and then you come out. I mean, even watching the show, you know, when I was kind of rewatching the shows and stuff for the interview, and I'm thinking, looking at the people, wow, they were really large. Or how are they suddenly, like, it seemed really sudden. You know, it almost seems, I know it's not magic. You worked very, very hard. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just, you know, because I used to work in a hospital and I used to teach weight management, and it was much different. You know, you lose 1 to 2 pounds a week and it's very slow and it takes a really long time. And to go on this show and have this quicker transformation, even though you worked really hard, you know what I'm trying to say? That must be a real trip.
It is a trip. It's strange. And it is difficult because I'm still the same genuine person who wants to help others and, you know, put forth good into the world. But now I just look really different and I get treated differently.
I was going to ask, I'm really sensitive to, even when I used to teach weight management, like I had, you know, they'd given me this, in order to get the job, they were like, okay, we're going to give this book and you need to teach this class. And it was so negative. It was like, fat is bad and you're bad. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to teach it this way. They were all different sizes. You all want, the goal is to be healthy and to change your lifestyle and not make people feel bad about themselves. And I just get so irritated when people treat people who are heavy in a negative way. And do you ever get annoyed? Like, I was still the same person inside. I'm not going to say jerk, but you know why I'm going to say jerk. I just wondered, do you have any of those feelings? Like, why weren't you nice to me before? What's the deal?
Of course. You know, there's little things from when I would be getting on the railroad and I would want to sit down, and you could see the fear of God in people's eyes that I might sit next to them at 300 pounds.
Mm.
And now, people just scoot on over and I can sit right between them. You know, it's kind of like, it's little things like that. It's, you know, you always think that when you're coming out of McDonald's and you're a heavy person that, you know, you wonder what people are thinking. And just the comments that some people would make when you're walking down the street or, I mean, I did live in New York City for a really long time. So, you know, there were comments.
That's terrible.
And, you know, you can always pretend that words are just words, but words can hurt. And especially me, I'm a sensitive person, and they did hurt. And I would never, you know, a person is a person.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of size, everyone has their battles, and mine was food and overcoming that, but it was also deeper than that. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't know, it's difficult to say, but people, they do treat heavy people differently. And it's not right, Lisa, and that's one thing that I hate. I hate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, one of the things, I had someone on the show, Jill Fleming, she wrote a really great book called Thin People Don't Clean Their Plates. It was about healthy lifestyle choices and permanent weight loss, and it had really great advice in it. But, you know, I kept thinking, well, you know, there are people who are skinny, who are not healthy, who eat junk and just happen to be thin. And there's people who are fat, who I know, who exercise and eat well, but they just, they're big. And they, you know, I don't think necessarily that, you know, and I'm not trying to get political, but this whole thing of like everyone has to be thin. And I'm thin. I've been thin my whole life. So I haven't had ever struggled with my weight, but I'm a very sensitive person, and I don't like when people aren't treated right. And I'm probably one of the odd, you know, I've been a health educator for 20 years, and I've always been, I don't know, more empathetic about it and not just like everyone has to be, you know, a stick. So
I definitely agree with that. That's why now in my new self, and as my weight is, you know, balancing out and I'm getting into new fun activities, I am no longer letting the scale dictate my life, but more of me doing what I want to do dictate my life.
Yeah, that's good.
And I realize now more than ever that I'm not meant to be small. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be small because I have a larger than life personality. It's just who I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's who I am.
Yeah.
And I finally have realized, embrace it.
Yeah.
The more that I finally cherish and embrace who I am as a person, the more I can give out to others and have that positive effect. And I want to do that.
Yeah.
I do. I truly want to. I want to know that I want to be able to help people from the way that I felt at 300 pounds, help them feel the way that I feel today. And whether that is, you know, helping them run a marathon or helping them, you know, venture into something new that they never thought was possible, to maybe dropping that last 10 pounds or starting on the first 5,
mm-hmm.
just helping them realize that they too can accomplish these things, and you don't need the TV show to do it, but you just need to have the faith in yourself, because that's what it all boils down to. If I just had the faith in myself at 300 pounds, I would have done it.
Yeah.
I never truly believed in me, and I was the person who would say, I can't let others down, but I will allow myself to fail me.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Why did I always feel not good enough?
Yeah.
No,
I
don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. So many, seems like so many women feel that way.
Mm-hmm. And I realized that it's because, whether it be the way that I was raised, I was just always an enabler.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of realizing that, okay, well, I want to make my life happy for me first and foremost. So, you know, whether it be getting into a new relationship, doing this, I don't want to do any of that until I find out the true things that make me happy, that I find that I'm passionate about and to get involved in. And then I think everything will fall into place. And obviously, it's a journey right now that I'm on, so I don't really know how it works out. But so far, so good.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing. And it seems to be working, because I realize that, you know, once I'm truly happy with me, then that's when I'm going to be the most blessed in my life.
That's true. Yeah. And again, you got to be happy with yourself before you can be happy with anybody else.
Very true. I totally agree with that.
Now, I wanted to ask, now, you had lost in the first week, what was it, like 21 pounds?
I did.
How did that feel? I mean, I'm like, I can't even form the words. That was shocking. I was like, that's amazing.
Well, I guess you can look back and see myself dancing around that 270-something pounds. I mean, I was just, I was on cloud 9. I just could not believe it. And this exuberance that was coming out of me on that stage, I was floored. I was absolutely floored. I could not believe that I did that. And from that moment on, I just said, this is it. This is hard work, and it is paying off. I'm not stopping.
No, and you didn't, and that is awesome. Now, speaking of that, on the second episode, when the teams were split and half stayed on the campus and half went home, you stayed on.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that feel to be there without Laura?
You know, I think that me and Laura actually had the advantage because Laura and I, we were together, you know, we were the closest of friends, but we didn't live together. We weren't in the same town.
Oh, okay.
So with that, it was an easy separation in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that she would put forth the effort because I just know her mentality. But when it comes to actually missing your partner, I didn't have that same type of relationship, you know, as it would have been if it was, you know, Kristen and Kathy or Sione and Felipe.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But when Laura actually went home for good at the end, I was a mess. I was ripped apart just because at that point we've been together for so long. And my best friend is just gone.
Yeah. And she had had a pretty severe hip fracture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jillian had said it was like the worst injury in the history of the show.
Yeah. Which I didn't know that.
Oh.
Like, when that was all filming, Laura was telling me that she'll still be able to go into the pool. Like, she was in denial as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so her being in denial and me being protective over her, I immediately said, well, okay, we're going to make sure you stay on that. If you can go in the pool, everyone can go in the pool, you know. But
yeah.
I didn't realize. And she still is actually struggling to this day, and she still has to go to physical therapy, and it's a shame, but she is taking care of it slowly.
Oh, I'm glad. Now, I want to let people know, if they're just tuning in, that we have the honor to talk with Tara Costa today. And usually the show goes from 9:30 to 10, but we're actually doing a special hour today with Tara because we still have, I'm looking and going, we have so much more to talk about, and thank goodness we have another half an hour. So, again, if you're just joining us, Tara Costa is here, and we're talking about The Biggest Loser and how she feels and what she's doing at the moment. Now, I wanted to know, going back to The Biggest Loser, how many hours a day did you work out on the campus?
It really did vary, Lisa. It could go from 5 hours to about 8. It depended, for me, it was using my body bug, and when I got to a certain calorie burn for the day, that's when I would go to bed. So whether I'd finished at 8 o'clock at night or whether I finished at 11 o'clock at night, I was not stopping until I hit my burn.
Oh, my goodness. When did you eat? I mean, if you're 8 hours a day, did you take little breaks and eat some, you know, the healthy food that they would prepare?
We prepared everything.
Oh, I was going to ask you. I didn't know if they, okay, because I know they showed... they showed you in the kitchen, but they never, there was a few, you know, episodes where they show you cooking something, but I didn't know how much time you actually got to spend learning about, you know, cooking healthy food.
Yeah, well, what happened is, when it comes to working out is just as, well, eating and sleep is just as important as working out. Therefore, I would wake up in the morning, immediately go do an hour jog and like a half an hour hike, come back down, eat, take a, you know, 20-minute rest, and then do something that was a moderate, like a light activity, whether it's probably just walking around, basically just keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be my time, too, to catch up with everybody and just walk the Presidential Mile, catch up with Laura. And then normally at that point a trainer would come in. We would have more of an intense workout, but I always have a snack before a trainer. Have the intense workout. Immediately after the intense workout during the early morning, take a nap. Jillian was keen. I'm just saying, okay, you know what, right now you guys will need to rest. I want at least like 45-minute nap. You need to chill out and relax. Your body needs to recover.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I was worried that how much sleep did you get with, you know,
I always actually probably got a solid 7 hours sleep every single night.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, 7 to 6 at least. But the great thing is, once I started feeling healthier and my energy level increased, I didn't need that many hours to keep going, which was it's a great feeling. Even now, I still don't need that many hours. It's surprising because I used to want to sleep like 9-10 hours a day, which is a lot now that I think about it.
Yeah.
So then, you know, it was really just about, you know, come in, eat every 4 hours, whether it be, you know, a handful of nuts, string cheese, fruit, and making your lunch. And lunch was always my more fulfilling meal. Mm-hmm. And that's when I basically would try to have my last carb. And then go back in, stop eating fruit around 4 o'clock. Then dinner would normally consist either chicken or fish and broccoli, green beans, some type of fresh vegetable, and a side salad, normally.
Okay.
So, and then after that, I would go back and start walking again. So I kind of started my day off walking and ended my day off with walking.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I was lucky and I hit my burn a little bit earlier, I would go watch some TV on my little portable DVD player that I brought.
So you did have some downtime. And did you get to, you know, hang around with the other contestants? And is there anyone that you got to be particularly close with?
I have to say, I formed so many great relationships. And in the beginning, because of the team situation and how Julian's original team basically left before Bob's original team, it was hard for me because I was close with everybody on Julian's team. I was close with Mandy and Laura, of course, and Bob and Dane and Daniel. And then before you know it, they're all gone.
Mm.
And then it was all Bob's original team, and then there was some of that competitive spirit. But now, to this day, I still talk to Kristen. I still talk to Felipe. I am extremely close with them. And it's nice. It's nice to know that these are people that I'm always going to have these relationships with, because we shared something that not many people have shared in an entire lifetime together.
That's true.
And they're people who better me. I realize now that I want to surround myself with people who make me better. And they do.
Yeah.
They do. When I'm feeling down, they lift me up. And they make me realize that I can accomplish anything that I put my mind to. I mean, Felipe, for example, he helped me realize that I'm worth more when it comes to relationships and that I deserve the best. And he also brought me stronger in my faith and realizing that, you know, sometimes I might not be strong enough, but if I have faith, then I will prevail. Now, that's something that is going to stick with me for the rest of my life.
Oh.
So, you know, that's what I mean with these relationships, and just, they're special. They are extremely special.
Well, I interviewed Sione and Felipe, and I loved that. I mean, I was like, you guys, they were so funny. And Felipe mm-hmm. was cracking me up. And I was just thinking, God, I wish he was my friend. I wish I could somehow get to know him. I mean, you know, and I have to, like, not, you know, I have his number, not pick up the phone and be like, hey, because he'd be like, who are you? Oh, yeah, you interviewed, you know, because he just had such a nice quality. And uh-huh. both of them did. And I just thought, wow, these guys are great.
They do. And the funny thing is, they both do. And it's unreal. It's unreal. And he's just a magnetism about Felipe, for sure.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he is. And he's as funny as he is, he's as genuine. He's just an all-around great person.
Yeah, and great you guys were competitive, too. You and Sione, you and
Felipe. Oh, yeah,
I mean, that's what I think, that's really nice to hear, that you're close friends, because I know on the show, I mean, you guys were neck and neck numerous times.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, it took a really long time because, I mean, Sione, even when he got voted up, I mean, called me up after and said, Kyra, I don't know how you did what you did so often. He's like, but I'm still not living it down, you know. And that's what I mean, though, but now, like, we're still so close to when you're on the show. Yes, it gets competitive and it's not good, but in the end, I truly did make a connection with everybody on that show. With mostly everybody. I really did. And I'm probably one of the few contestants who does keep in touch with many people.
Mm-hmm. No, I have that kind of personality as well. And when I meet people and I like them, it's hard to get rid of me. I tell people that, you know, once I like you, you know, I want, you know, I'm going to want you in my life. So mm-hmm. now talking about the challenges, as I mentioned about the competitiveness, you and all the other contestants climb mountains, you kayaked over open seas, you cross canyons, you pulled a 2-ton car. Well, yours was more than that. We'll get to that in a minute. You ran a half marathon. You competed for 24 hours straight and rode over 600 miles on a stationary bike. Now, I read on an online interview where you said that the car challenge was almost nearly impossible and the marathon was by far the best experience of your life. Now, you won the car challenge.
Yes.
And you're the first one to finish the marathon.
Yes.
You won 12 challenges in all. I mean,
yes.
how did you come up with that? So two questions. How'd you come up with all the energy for these amazing feats? And the second question was, how did you, it must have been really hard when they're like, not only are you going to pull this 2-ton car, but we're going to put extra weight in it. I mean, that just must have been like, what the heck are you talking about?
You know, when I first stepped on the Biggest Loser Ranch, I said, this is going to be an amazing experience. I'm going to live each and every single day here like it was my last. And that's what I did. I went in with that attitude, and every single day before I went to bed, I thought to myself, did I do enough today? Yeah. And that's how I went into every single challenge, knowing that I might not be here next week. This might be my last one. Make the best of it. And with that attitude, I prevailed, because I just knew that I just couldn't give up. Everyone always asks me this, and I just, the only thing I can say is I'm a person who just doesn't give up. I won't allow myself to fail. You know, I don't give up. When push comes to shove, I just keep going. I don't know what's inside of me that allows me to just dig in deep, but it's something that's deep inside that comes from within, and then finally, it comes out with belief. Mm-hmm. Belief in myself, knowing that I will get through it. And sure enough, when you start believing and then you start doing, amazing things happen. And like when I was pulling that car, I remember just leaning into it and thinking, oh, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. And I kept on leaning and I said, Tara, you will do this. Put down your head and just move and just move. And just move. And sure enough, there was something that just came over me that was stronger than me, and I started moving. And then it was a little faster, a little faster. Looked up, see Mike saying, "You're there. Keep going."
To watch. It really was amazing to watch.
That's what it was. And then it was just move. The words keep on just repeating in my head, saying, you're going to do this, you know? And it's not about winning the prizes. It wasn't even about that. Now I actually get to go to the NASCAR event October 10th through the 12th.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, so I get to kind of relive that, and it's going to be such a great experience.
Because you won't be pulling a car.
Exactly. But it's just kind of like, now I can say that I pulled a car in my lifetime. I would have never done that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I enjoy these type of adventures, because, you know, you're scared when you first go into them. And because you don't know how you're gonna do. You're gonna do well. You're gonna fail. What's gonna happen? But I do it because I think I would have never done it before. And if I do fail, at least I'm failing at an attempt to try something new. Hence, now why I'm getting into, you know, open water swims and trying to possibly do some more marathons and triathlons and, you know, mountain biking. Just random things that could potentially be fun. I don't know if I'm going to do well with it, but I don't know if I don't try.
Exactly. You know, when you were talking about, you know, not letting yourself fail, I kind of thought, you know, you don't want to put too much pressure on yourself, because, again, but I'd like to hear that you're saying, if you're going to, you know, it's good to try, and then if you fail, it's okay, but if, you know, you don't want to beat yourself up too much if you do fail.
Exactly. And I mean, I could look at my whole entire experience in the show and say, well, look, I didn't win the entire thing, I failed.
Oh, jeez.
No, that's the whole thing. No. I wouldn't say that because I know that, once again, I every single day put forth the effort that I knew that I could do, and I felt good about every single day on that ranch. So how can I be upset? I can't. It just wasn't in my cards. You know, and just because I didn't win doesn't mean I'm not going to make the best out of the situation for myself and truly make my life for me to live and make it a happy one and give back. Mm-hmm. So.
No, I think that's great. Now, not only did you have to run, going back to the marathon, the half marathon, but then when you were in the final four, you had to run a full marathon.
You have less than 26 days to train. With less than 26 days to train.
Yeah, that, I don't know. I mean, I remember even Jillian and Bob were like, what the, you know, are you kidding me? That, they would never. I mean, what was with this, you know, because I didn't see the other seasons, but it seemed like every other second they're like, never done before in Biggest Loser history. This is the first time. I'm thinking, how many firsts? What are they doing to these contestants? I mean, this is a lot of heavy-duty stuff.
Yeah, we were a special bunch. And the producers who actually make up the challenges, they had a pretty fun season. You know, they knew that we were people who would not give up. And they just went for it. They really did. I mean, I know that they fought about the marathon, thinking, well, that's not, we can't do that to them. We can't do this to them. And I'm so happy they did. Because, you know, I never knew I was a runner. I didn't know that that would potentially happen for me and that I could do those type of things. But because they made us uncomfortable, I learned something about myself. That's the greatest thing, is that, you know, sometimes it's hard to give yourself that push, to put yourself in that uncomfortable zone. But on this TV show, I didn't have a choice. I was there. It was going to happen whether I liked it or not. You know, so that's kind of like why now I want to help people who, you know, want to try something new. Because it's scary to try something new on your own, especially. But if you have that other person, you know, to help you push through it a little bit, it eases the discomfort, and it's a fun venture for the two of you.
Mm-hmm. No, that,
you know?
Yeah, that really makes sense. I mean, if you're not, I never thought about that, but you're right. You had to do it. You know, when Sione and Felipe were on, and this is just a little example, but I'm not afraid of heights if I'm in a building, but, you know, standing on a little ledge up somewhere. I was a camp counselor, and I had to do this ropes course, and so I had to sort of, you know, go up for the kids and show them it was okay, and I was terrified, and I never would have done it if it wasn't part of my job. So I'm up there standing on this tiny little platform way up high in a tree. I thought I was going to die, but afterwards I felt so good. But again, I never would have done that unless I had to.
Exactly.
And it's that feeling of, completely makes sense.
Yeah, and you look back and you think, you look back after it's done, you go, wow, look what I just did.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, that's a great feeling. That's something I enjoy to feel.
Okay, now during the marathon, you were joined by Allie Vincent, and she was mm-hmm. a winner of season 5, and she said that you're an inspiration to her, and that gave you the push to keep going. Now, how does it feel to know that you're not only an inspiration to Allie and to me, but millions and millions of others?
It's, you know, I can't even explain it in words. It's kind of like, I can just give an example. I am running the other morning, and as I'm running, a woman sees me, and she points at me, and she says, I'm out here because of you.
Mm.
Now, that just put a little extra pep in my step as I keep going along. You know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, I was able to touch so many people through my story, and I didn't even know at the time that I had a story. I was a girl who was so far gone that went on national TV for help. That's it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that this... I wouldn't have fathomed that what would have come, to be brutally honest. I thought I was going to lose a bunch of weight, and I thought I was going to go back to corporate finance. That was it. I never thought possible the things that, you know, are going to be coming my way now. That, you know, like, that I'm going to be able to help people and continually to help people. And knowing that I can help people achieve something is a feeling that is gratifying. I go to bed at night and I just think, I want to continue this. It's, I don't know, it's just a feeling, it gives me goosebumps. It still does. And now it's just, wow, it's like, then there's going to be a new season who is going to get to impact even more people, and it's a viral effect. And right now, especially in the state of economy and how things are just not so good for people,
yeah,
it's something that we all need.
That's true. Yeah, it's, you know, very uplifting.
It is. It is extremely uplifting. And I, when I, you know, when I'm able to help people and hear their stories of how I've inspired them, and I think, how could I really do that? How? I'm a 24-year-old girl who just needed help. And to hear how I'm able to, you know, inspire men and women and young and old, it is just an uplifting feeling and something that I don't want to stop.
Yeah.
I don't. And I don't know exactly what the outlet is going to be yet and how I'm going to continue to do it, but right now I'm doing it through my actions. And I'm just going to keep going with it, Lisa. Yeah. I'm not going to stop.
No, I mean, I'm just, you know, I think a lot of people be like, hey, I lost weight and I'm just going to think of myself. But I mean, I just find it amazing that you're still wanting to help other people, because so many people aren't like that, unfortunately. You know,
no.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I love doing this show, is because I get to get the word out and educate people about all different kinds of health issues. And, you know, that's why I went into health education. You know, I've been doing it for 20 years, all different facets of it. And I like that feeling, you know, of knowing that people can tune in and, oh, I heard Tara and she was really inspirational. Oh, this person talked about this. Or, you know, it's just a great feeling. And it's nice
that
you're doing that.
I agree. And that might be... it might be a little bit selfish of myself that I enjoy that feeling and I don't want it to stop, but at the same time, it's something that I realized, yeah, you know, you want to do what makes you feel good.
Exactly.
And this is, you know, it's just, I'm just happy that what makes me feel good is helping others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so. Yeah, that's great. Now, I went back online and I was looking back at some of the shows. And when you finished the marathon, they showed a video of you on day one. And it said, you said, and this is verbatim, you know what it is it feels like to allow yourself to fail. You've accomplished so much right now. Do not let this go. This is a new you, a fresh, clean slate. Go manifest your own destiny and enjoy it. Do not let it go. When you were doing that at the time, what did they say to you? Like, say something inspirational about how you see yourself in the future, or how did that come about, that video?
That was right before we found out we were on the show. And we were sitting in a little room, and they're like, just say something to yourself at the end of your journey. What would you want to hear?
Oh,
and okay. I remember thinking, like, okay, like, I'm 300 pounds right now. How do I know what I want to say to myself? How do I know how it's going to end up? And I'm just kind of thinking that this is a fresh start. Before, no matter what, me going to LA was my start. It was, okay, well, no matter what happens, I already have a gym back at home now. I'm gonna start this. This is the start of a new life for me regardless. I'm going to make this happen. And I remember thinking that I know it's going to be so much hard work, and I know that there are going to be difficult times, but all the hard work will pay off because this is going to be a new you. And it is. I just sat there thinking, I can manifest my own destiny now. I know that I have what it takes, and I had the attitude back then. I just didn't have the belief back then.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And now I finally believe what I was saying.
That's good. And you're living what you're saying,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
And I wanted to bring up, because I'm a huge fan of Tim Gunn, and I wanted to say, speaking of clean slate, we had the makeover. When you hugged him, I thought, oh my gosh, I would have done the exact same thing. I just thought, oh my gosh, that's so cool. What was that experience like?
Tim Gunn is such a genuine, genuine person. He went out of his way to make sure that you felt comfortable in what you were wearing, that you understood why he chose what he chose and how, you know, the best reasons why. He is just a master fashionista.
Oh, he sure is.
You know, he's just absolutely amazing. Amazing. And really just a great, great guy. Can't say enough nice things about Tim Gunn. I really can't. I was surprised. I was surprised. He, you know, before he came on set, he knew everybody's name. He made sure of it, where we were from, what we did, and, you know, our stats up to that date. Most people, when they come in, they say hi on set, and that's basically it. But he took the time to genuinely know who he was working with before.
That's kind of, no, he seems like that type of a guy. Now, so he picked out your dress, and green is my favorite color. And you look so nice in green. And then you also had your hair done. So you got to meet Tabitha, who I like a lot, also from Bravo. Tabitha Salon Makeover. And she can be pretty tough. And I, you know, but she's good. I mean, she helps save people's businesses, you know, by being that way. How was she to work? Did she do your hair or did somebody else?
Brandon Davis actually did my hair, but I did work with Tabitha. Tabitha, she was funny. she really was just a funny person. It's actually it's strange. We actually have, since I worked at L'Oreal in the hair care company Matrix, we had mutual friends.
Oh, that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
So funny.
And it was great just to be able to talk to someone who knows that business so well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're on a ranch for so long, you kind of lose touch with what's going on in the industry. And sure enough, I was able to catch up with her.
Oh,
so
cool.
It was so much fun. And she is, once again, just a rock star of a hairstylist.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she knows what's good, she can do it, but she's also, you know, that savvy individual who can, you know, figure out the whole business side of it as well. I mean, they really did. They had an all-star makeover crew for us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they went all out.
They definitely did.
They went all out. Now, I want to talk, we only have a little bit of time left, but I want to talk about your experiences back home. Now, when you went home for the 30 days before the finale, Jillian had visited you and talked to you about balance. And I remember her saying that you can't live in these extremes. And she took you out for lunch and a drink. And I remember you thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, after a workout. And then on, even at the finale, Allison brought this up, and you said that you found balance with the help of your friends. And can you tell us more about that? Because I know that there's a lot of people out there trying to lose weight, and they can kind of go, you can kind of go overboard, you know, where you lose balance. And it's important to, you know, be easy on yourself and still be able to enjoy the things that you enjoyed, you know, in a very, you know, careful fashion. So.
Yeah, it's a fine line, especially when you have a lot of weight to lose, find that balance, because an easy slip-up, especially in the early stages, can ruin 3 weeks' worth of work. It's very difficult. But I was afforded the opportunity to be on the ranch for so long that, you know, if I had messed up a little bit, it's not like I killed, you know, my prior 3 weeks and I was the same weight again. But what I basically did was, coming home from the ranch, the reason what was so difficult for me to find balance in the beginning is because they were doing my kitchen remodeling, right? I knew I had to go back for a weigh-in, and they were working on my kitchen upstairs, so I didn't have a kitchen. You know how stressful it is not to be able to prepare your own food when you're trying to lose weight for a national television show?
Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine. That's really
That's
stressful.
One thing. And at the same time, all of my boxes from the ranch, we basically had to move out, and I was there the longest. I had so much crap that I just accumulated of clothes and this workout thing and this workout thing and everything. And the kitchen was getting redone, and then Jillian was coming, and then it was just unbeknownst to me, and then it was just a whirlwind. It was just a week of a whirlwind. It was just, which way's up? This is just too difficult. I didn't want to be home thinking that this is just going to be too difficult. But I let it overwhelm me. I realized at that point that I need to sit down, and I'm a person who needs a plan. I need to make my checklist and figure out what needs to get done, my top priorities to my, you know, priorities that aren't that important but I still will need to accomplish, and just start checking them off. That's how I work, though. I realize that now, that I just need to, you know, be concise with myself and just figure out what's important to me. But then when it came to the actual balance side of it, once getting my life in order, it went from, okay, well, my life's in order now. How do I make it still fun for me? Because I want to make this a forever change. So Monday through Friday, I was excellent. Friday evening, I would go out, wouldn't confine myself. Then Saturday during the day, worked out during the day, did something fun with my friends, and then we normally have a nice evening. And then Sunday, grocery shopping, packing up my lunches, preparing everything for the week, and that's it.
Okay.
So I basically gave myself that, you know, Friday all day I was good. Friday night I had, you know, I cut back a little bit. Saturday during the day once again was good until I went out in the evening, or depending upon if I had an event that day, trying to find that balance. So I would normally give myself a solid 2 days, you know, two evenings where I knew that this was going to happen, but then, you know, that Monday through Thursday and that Sunday, Sunday through Thursday, I knew that I was going to be head on.
Yeah. Also, I think now that it's become a lifestyle, not a diet, that would make it easier. You know what I mean? Because once you learn that you know, exercise, eating right. It's just a lifestyle. It's not like you feel like, oh my God, I'm always dieting. I'm hoping that it feels, you know, for people out there that it feels that way. That's the difference between being on diets and making real lifestyle changes.
People fail diets.
Yes, they do.
You don't stay on a diet.
No, you don't.
You know, so how can you allow yourself to go on a diet? Because then you go off diet.
Yeah.
You know, you don't go off a lifestyle. You just live your life.
Exactly. That's
so
true.
So you create a lifestyle that's fitting to you.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I'm still in the process. It's only been, it's been 2 months now. I mean, I'm finally coming into my own and figuring out this lifestyle that I'm going to live. And it's exhilarating. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely exhilarating.
I just want to thank you so much. Oh, the last thing before is, what are your plans for the future at this point?
For the future?
Yeah.
You know, right now, I am definitely getting into writing a book, which is exciting and also extremely therapeutic for me as I'm, you know, creating a new lifestyle and realizing the things that made me heavy. And, you know, how you kind of transition from being extremely big to extremely small in a short period of time and the things that go along with it. As well as now working with people, doing the motivational speaking, reaching out to different companies, and possibly going back on TV.
Oh, yeah. You're great on
TV. So we'll see what happens, but that's what I mean. It's just kind of, I never thought that these things would be possible because I just wanted to start living. And now I'm living a life that's larger than I ever expected.
That's awesome.
Kind of awesome.
Well, you're going to have to come back because this hour felt like 5 minutes. I'm looking at the clock and they're like giving, you know, it's you know, I just, there comes the music. Tara, I just want to thank you so much. It was such a blast having you. Joining us next week from 9:30 to 10 is Allison Mackey, who will talk about Thai yoga and full body balancing. And from 10 to 10:30, Garrett Whitney, certified master rolfer, will talk about rolfing. If you'd like to reach me, simply go to itsyourhealthradio.org. While you're there, you can download past shows and see what's coming next month. Tara's show will be up on the site Friday or Saturday. Tell everyone. And Tara, thanks again. Everyone have a great week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Bye.